Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out of the bad seat, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad tape, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palatial, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny was into my flower tonight after she had a couple of too many vinos at dinner in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do it. All my friends that come around, flats and party up, rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown, what a mess, this town's tattered, my brain's splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake out. Ooh. What's gigging is Pharrell with Mafia tonight. And I saw this five overtime hockey thriller, and it was just absolutely phenomenal, absolutely sickening game. I couldn't even believe what I was watching. This Carpasalo goalie for the Blue Jackets was surreal. I think he had 85 saves in the game, and he lost 85 saves. I think it's the most ever in a game, and he lost. The guy was surreal in the net for Columbus. My hat is off to him. An incredible performance. I sat there and I was like, I'm watching this game in the first overtime, second, third, fourth. I'm like, they can't score on this guy. They cannot score on Carpasalo. It was absolutely the most vicious performance I've ever seen in my life from a goalie. And then to lose, Braden Point with the winner on a cranker. From up in the high slot area above the left circle. And he finally got it over the shoulder, a high riser. And that was it. The Lightning get it done in five overtimes. It was the fourth longest game in history. It was fabulous. And I haven't even started talking about the Blazers yet.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so the Blazers, who I just continue to be amazed by, they did it again tonight. I mean, that was just an unbelievable game as well. I mean, these two great games were going on at the same time. The hockey game was a five overtime thriller. And then that game took so long that I was literally talking about the game as it was happening. When I was on Coast to Coast from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern. In the 5 o'clock hour, I was going crazy, if you remember, when they had a Coleman had a two-on-one break on a shorthanded, and he lured the defenseman down, and the goalie, Carpasalo, was standing up on his heels, and he had him. All he had to do was feed the puck over to his skate mate right there on the two-on-one, and it was a stuffer and a, you know, shorty and a 3-2 lead. That never happened because he shot the puck and Carpasalo made the save. I was talking about that game as it was happening. It was 2-1 Columbus. They scored with like 40 some seconds left in the second. And then right at the beginning of the third, the Lightning scored like 20 seconds in or something like that. And then it was literally still going on. I think it ended at around 9:20 or something like that in the East. The game, I don't know exactly when it started. I think maybe 3 o'clock. It lasted over six hours and 20 minutes. That's crazy. I know they had breaks in between periods, but they played, you know, going into a third game, right? So they played 5 overtimes. So imagine how long they were on the ice.
Almost 2 2/3 of a game.
That's just crazy, right? So then I flip over. I got this other game going, the Blazer game, because I got a lot of action on the Blazers, right? I had them -1. Cover! So all I know is that Dame Lillard went off in this game. Now, I don't know what, I think it was the 130 bucket. It was 130 to 127, and he shot about a 28-30 footer, and it hit the back of the rim, and it shot up in the air like a rocket, and it went above the glass, way above the glass, and it came straight down like a rocket into the basket. It was the luckiest bounce you've ever seen in your life. It went straight up in the air like 5-10 feet and then came down right through the basket. And everyone was tripping. So the guy ends up lighting it up and he has 61 points. Dame Lillard afterwards was walking on the court. He's like, respect my Pharrellin name. Because he's had a lot of grief lately with these clowns like Beverly and Paul George. Now, Paul George allegedly reached out to Dame Lillard and had a conversation with him in the last day. I think, you know, in some capacity or another, just cleaning that mess up, saying I'm sorry for what I did with Bev. You didn't deserve that. I respect you. I'm your boy. We're all good. And I don't know if Dame said, we cool, it's all right, everything's cool, because that's generally what happens in basketball. During a game, it's heated. After the game, everybody's cool. And yeah, we're all good. Everything's good, right? So either way, I said on Coast to Coast several times lately in the last 2 weeks when this has been going on, this bubble life, in Orlando, that the Blazers were the best team and they're going to win that spot. That I think the Suns have been phenomenal, but I think they're going to get shafted. I think they're going to, unless I'm mistaken, Mafia, I think they're going to fall short, even though they won again today. They beat the Sixers and they covered. And Booker had 35. He's dropping 35 a night now. I mean, this guy, Booker, is just absolutely going off. But no one can talk about Dame Lillard anymore. I'm sick of hearing it. I had somebody clowning me on the social media when I did the rant on Coast to Coast about Dame Lillard's better than Paul George. I think Paul George is a great player. He's put up individual stats that are real nice. There's no denying it that he can ball. I'm not going to dispute that, right, at all. I wouldn't argue with anybody that Paul George can't play ball. He's a good player, great player. But this guy, Lillard's on another level. I mean, he's on another level. This guy's ice cold. Ice water in his veins. He's a freak. 17 of 32 from the floor, 18 of 18 from the line. That is crazy. 61 points, 9 three-pointers, 5 boards, 8 dimes, only 2 fouls. Melo had 26, 3 threes, 8 boards, 2 dimes, 10 of 17 from the floor in 35 minutes. That's a huge game from Melo. Second best game on the Blazers. Put it this way, they're in the 8 spot now. They had to win to get in the 8 spot. They lose, they're in the 11 spot. Could you believe that? That's how critical that game was tonight for the Blazers. And the Mavs gave them everything they could handle. Zinger had 36. Doncic had 25, 8, and 10, almost the triple-double. Couple boards shy of it. But your boy Porzingis, 36, 6 boards. 7 three-pointers from Zinger. Hardaway had 24. Kleber had 12. Burke had 12. Huge foul late in the game from Burke on Lillard. On the Dallas end, on a bucket, on a three, wiped out because Burke ran into Dame Lillard trying to defend the play and crushed him. Burke was livid. I thought it was a good call. All I know is Dame Lillard, back-to-back. Did he not go back-to-back 50-plus games? Back-to-back 50-point games. It's truly unbelievable when you think about it. You can't even argue. This guy, I'm sick of hearing it. People saying, you know, PG's better than him and all this. I mean, he sent him packing in the playoffs. And he did it again last year, making the Western Conference Finals. The guy does it all. I mean, the bottom line is CJ McCollum didn't do anything in that game. In fact, he was awful in that game. I think he had 8 points. And he had one.
I just saw a report come out that he's actually playing with a fractured back since Thursday.
McCollum's got a fractured back?
He's got a fracture in his back. He's been playing with it since last week.
I got a bad back right now playing. I played today with a bad back. It was killing me.
I'm carrying your crippled dog. That'll happen.
You know what it is? I think you're right. So I've been lifting this 200-pound dog. Bottom line is, I played today and we got annihilated. I played like 5 or 6 games in the morning, 6:30 in the morning, and I played this really good team and they just annihilated us. It just did not go well. And my back was throbbing the whole morning, just absolutely throbbing. But whatever. I played through it. McCollum played through it. He looked like he played through up. 2 of 14 from the floor. 1 of 5 from downtown. That's the worst game I've seen him. That guy couldn't hit the broadside of a burn tonight. Now we know why. He's got some kind of a break in his back like Simon Cowell. We got a really big show for you tonight. Coming up, Rich Sermonello from Football Full Circle on Sports Grid. We'll talk college football with him.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
right. Pharrell on the Bench. We're talking to Rich Sermonello now from Football Full Circle on Sports Grid. We thought we'd bring him on the bench and talk about everything going on with college football today. It was a crazy day. How's it going, Rich?
Was there news in college football today, Scott? Because I wasn't paying close attention.
Yeah, there was a little bit of news. What did you think when you first heard, like, you knew prior to today, because there was a lot of talk, even on Monday, that it was going to happen, right? That it was inevitable. There was already stories out there. And I've been believing that for a couple months that I've been on coast to coast and on the bench every day saying, I just don't know how they're going to play college football when there's people dying everywhere. And this pandemic is still out of control. What did you think when you heard that the Big Ten made the leap first?
Yeah, you know, you bring up an excellent point. I think for all of us in and out of college football, going back to, I'll say, spring football, March, April, this has been one gigantic roller coaster ride, because there have been periods, you know, I'll go to end of May. I was on the air with Mike Blewett, and we were talking, and at that point, you know, we were doing pretty good in the Northeast. South didn't start to get hit yet, and we were like, all right, you know, maybe we're sort of peeking our way out of this. Maybe we'll get college sports. But then what took place in June, July, and now into August throughout the South, I kind of agree with you. I thought there was this air of inevitability, especially when it came to the Big Ten and the Pac-12, which obviously announced today as well that they were postponing for the fall. The big question mark now, and there are dozens of enormous question marks that are lurking out there, is ACC, SEC, now it looks like the Big 12, they're going to forge ahead. They're going to try it. But the one thing I've been saying throughout the offseason is there are going to be some outbreaks on these campuses, and there are going to be some outbreaks on some of these teams. What happens when that occurs?
Well, I think that, you know, a lot of these people that are, you know, trying to be so smart and fancy in the Big 12 and SEC and ACC. I used today as an example the Big 12, like, you know, we're going to have barbecue down here in Big Texas style. Nobody tells us what to do in Texas. We do things big. We do them right. We have gigantic parties. No one wears masks. We're jumping in pools. We're out on yachts. We know how to live large down here. Don't tell us about people dying. Meanwhile, Texas is like a fog of death. The whole state with COVID everywhere, rampant. There's no ICU beds anywhere. I mean, how stupid do you have to be? So, like, you know, I got to be honest with you. These Bowlesby and the Big 12 and all their bravado, and no one tells us what to do. I actually, you know, frankly, I can't wait to see it bite them in the ass.
Yeah. You know what? It's interesting, too. I was talking off air before coming on, and maybe you could appreciate this. In our country, we now politicize everything. I never thought we'd get to a point where we were in the midst of a pandemic that is politicized, wearing a mask, which seems so obvious and elementary and basic from my perspective, and respectful, quite frankly, when I'm out in public for the people around me. My wife is a nurse. I might be asymptomatic at any time. So to me, it's the respectful thing to do. I think we're at a point, Scott, now where to play or not to play, you can kind of feel it, can't you? This is starting to feel a little bit politicized as well.
Yeah, listen, I wouldn't argue with that at all. In fact, I think it's frankly embarrassing how political it's become. Like, when I see people trying to pull that freedom of speech and it's my right to not wear a mask nonsense. I mean, I got to just, like, I wish I could. Can you imagine if I had a frying pan to skull every single person in the country that didn't think that they should wear a mask? Yeah. How many people I would knock out with a frying pan? I mean, how about all these people think they're so smart and they walk around flaunting, absolutely flaunting. There's people that go around sneezing on people and coughing on people in places, in public places. It is absolutely beyond me. Now, let me ask you, what did you think, Rich, about the Scott Frost? Like, because I kind of was perturbed by him acting like he was so smart and ahead of everyone, and no one's going to tell Nebraska what to do. We're going to play football whether they like it or not, and we want to play Big Ten football, but we'll play anywhere. Like, you know what they should do? I said this today to Joe Lisi. I said they should have never left the Big Eight. They fit in the Big Ten about as well as, you know, basically Northwestern's history of football in the conference, where they got about 10 wins over the last 200 years. I mean, I think Nebraska's worse than Northwestern.
Yeah, a couple of things. I like Scott. I really do. I've spent considerable time with him. He's a good dude. I really do like him. He's cerebral, treats his players well. I think he's out of bounds here, and I understand the passion. I get it, right? You work the entire off season. You have kids who are preparing for the campaign. You have seniors hopefully playing for the left. I totally get the passion. I do. But the one big thing for me when it comes to Nebraska is there are contracts with the Big Ten. You know,
that's
this
right.
Concept of throwing it out, we're going to go play someplace else. Ridiculous. I mean, you know, you would have lawyers from the Big Ten who would be jumping in immediately. Nebraska has no right to just willy-nilly go say, I'm going to join the Big 12. We're going to make a, you know, a little peaches and herb reunited with Texas and Oklahoma down in Big 12 country. That's not going to happen. It's not that simple. So, you know, Scott's a good guy. He's got to kind of man up a little bit and accept the fact that we're not going to have a 5-7 Huskers team this year.
I don't know the guy like you do. Fair enough. But I know that I said this today on the show that, you know, my friend Tim Brando, you know, from Fox Sports, I've been friends with Tim for a long time. And Tim has been selling me this guy like no other coach in college football. Mavio backed me up on this. Tim has told me emphatically 100 times on my shows that he's going to win a national championship there and multiple Big Ten titles in Lincoln. And I have absolutely vehemently disagreed with that, because I've never seen one iota, one shred of evidence of any success at all in Nebraska football since he's been there. Now, remember, I'm 55 years old. So I said today, he's no Tom Osborne. Now, okay, I was there when they were playing for national championships against Miami and the biggest, greatest games you ever saw in your life. And this guy's nowhere near that. Now, I don't disrespect that he can coach, but I think he acts like he's got really big pants down in Lincoln. And I think he's got diapers on because he's never done anything. Nothing. Nothing at all. Zero.
Yeah, a lot to prove. There's no question. I'd probably be somewhere in between you and Timmy at this point. I wouldn't be predicting national championship. This is what I said when he was hired. Did a great job at UCF. Super smart guy, especially with the offenses. Has flamed out with Adrian Martinez, the young quarterback, down in Lincoln up to this point. I think Nebraska, how about this? Try this on for size. Tell me what you think, Scott. I think Nebraska can get to the point where Wisconsin is right now in the Big Ten West. I think you could be an 8-9 win team every 4 or 5 years, win the Big Ten. How about that? Setting the bar there, is that acceptable for Scott Frost?
Yeah, I could live with that. I don't think that he's going to lose forever. I don't think that it's going to stay the way it has been. But I know there's people excited about him, and I know he gets a lot of juice, but I just haven't seen it yet. And so what bothered me was his tough guy act in the last day or two of how we're going to do it whatever we want down here. He goes, at Nebraska, we're calling the shots. We're gonna play football this fall. We're going to play whoever we want. No one's going to stop us. And you know what? I cannot wait to see Scott eat a football in his mouth, because you're right about one thing, Rich. The lawyers are going to be so far in their garage door, they're going to think they got a snowblower in their ear, because you don't just walk out on the Big Ten with contracts up your nose and think you can do whatever you want. It doesn't work. The world doesn't work that way. And Scott, you know, I think he thinks he's real powerful and everything. But let me tell you something. The Big Ten is bigger than Scott. And so is the university president at Nebraska. Now, I know they voted down this whole thing, but guess what? They lost. That's what they did. They voted no, but the conference said, we don't care what you think. At the end of the day, that's what they said. I mean, they're not having football. And so Michigan, Ohio State, and Scott Frost can all go have a sandwich because it's not happening. And if Ohio State and Michigan think that they're going to go out and play whoever they want, they're going to be sadly mistaken as well.
Yeah, and Gene Smith, the AD at Ohio State, is, you know, because there's been rampant speculation really for the past week plus as far as what's going to happen. Ohio State has already come out and said football's done till next spring. And that's another subject, too. The concept of Big Ten playing next spring and then lacing it up again next fall, not going to happen. I think that is a salve right now for a lot of wounded fans out there that, hang tight. We'll be back in February or March. I think it could happen, depending on what's going on with the pandemic for the MAC or for the Mountain West Big Ten. I don't see that happening in the spring.
Yeah, we'll come back with Rich and talk more about the situation with, like, the Pac-12. We'll talk about what he thinks is going to happen with the ACC and SEC, if they're actually going to pull it off, and if there's going to be any kind of a playoff or a championship, or if he thinks that they're going to get caught up in the rush of the 10 and the 12 that dropped out today in terms of conferences. So Rich Sermonello is great on Football Full Circle on Sports Grid. It's great to have him on the bench tonight talking tons of college football. So, we know the situation. Nobody likes it. The players. Let's just say one other thing about the Big Ten. Like Justin Fields, shake my head, the whole deal, the reaction. I understand the kids' reaction. I understand their passion and they're bummed out and they're tripping and they're angry, right? And I get it. And I get the whole national, we want to play movement or whatever they're calling it. And the whole, we want a union and we want health insurance and we want, money and all this stuff. They're not getting any of that. Okay. They don't have, I mean, that is the most nonsensical thing I think I've heard yet throughout this whole college football rant over the last several months, is that they want to have a union. Well, they don't even know whether they're coming or going to begin with. They're college football players. They're young kids. Who's going to run the union? Trevor Lawrence, please. It's not happening. They're not getting health benefits. They're not getting paychecks. They're not getting anything. They're not running a casino in Las Vegas. This isn't, they're not building skyscrapers in Manhattan and the cement unions coming in. This is a college football. I get it. They're going to get NIL. I get it. They're going to get academic benefits, books, things of this nature, all the, things that they can get academically on top of their athletic scholarships. I saw what the Supreme Court did today. I saw what the California district judge did, and they passed that. So good things are happening for college athletes. But the ones in the Big Ten that are crying now, and the Pac-12, Rich, what they should do, guys like Justin Fields, is just get over it, bro. You're going to the NFL draft. You're going to be rich soon enough. Go train and just shut up. You're not going to change anything. I get it. You want to voice your opinion. You're upset. Fair enough. But now it's time to focus on training and getting ready to be drafted in the top five, top 10 for all the great players. Parsons at Penn State. Would you agree with all that?
Yep. Yeah, I would. The phrase that came to mind for me, Scott, is blessing in disguise. And I think you're spot on. Young student athletes, 20, 21, 22 years old, there's a lot of emotion. The suddenness of it, the last time I'll be in the locker room with my buddies, last time I'll play with these guys. But, it wasn't that long ago that a lot of these players were thinking, even out loud on Twitter, like, I don't really feel safe about this. I'm not really sure. You got that mess up at Colorado State where there are allegations that Steve Adazio is encouraging or discouraging his players from reporting symptoms related to coronavirus. You have a number of kids. And listen, I was not completely convinced that Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence were not going to opt out. I thought it would have been ridiculous for them to play. They're both going to be top five, top six overall picks next April. So the fact that the Big Ten, in the case of Justin Fields, ACC with Trevor Lawrence, we'll see. But the fact that the season was canceled, I think, is a blessing in disguise. Go get an agent. Go get some money and start training for Indianapolis in February. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt. And the NFL stops for nothing. The NFL, someone I heard today say, well, if the NFL has their draft, I was like, pah! The NFL has their draft. They already did a draft virtually. They'll do a draft. You know, maybe next year's draft will be in heaven. I mean, they've already done one virtually. I mean, what's next? How about set up on the gates of St. Peter? Because the NFL is not stopping because of the college football's problems or any of these kids' problems. They don't care. And I can tell you, you know, if they really want to run a union, they should go learn from the NFL players how it's done, because they don't even know how to run their union. I mean, they don't know how to run their union. Baseball doesn't know how to run their union. I mean, you can't even argue with me that Tony Clark is a train wreck running that baseball union. I don't care what anybody says. And the NFL owners don't lose either. And so a bunch of college football players are going to run a union. I mean, it was laughable. Like, I get it. They're all in this protest mode that everybody's in these days, Rich. Everybody wants to have a march and a protest and a cause. And that's what these football players did. A couple of them got around on the phone, started texting each other. Let's start our own union. It takes a lot more than texting on your phone and Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn to start a union. I can tell you that much. But let me ask you this question. Do you think that the Pac-12, or first of all, twofold this question. A, the Pac-12, I think they're way ahead of themselves on the college basketball cancellation. B, going back to Colorado State, do you really believe, because I'm not sure, I'd like to hear your opinion. Do you really believe that Steve Adazio and his staff are that stupid that they would try to convince kids to lie about COVID symptoms? And the reason I have a problem with it is because I said this on Coast to Coast. Colorado State is meaningless in college athletics. Yeah. They're meaningless. Like, they've never mattered in anything, ever, in anything. So who cares about Colorado State sports? I know they do. I get it. They care. I know why they are motivated to win, the Rams and Fort Collins, the whole deal. I've been there. I know all about it. But my point is, why would they do that? At what point does that benefit them at all? Like, they don't matter anyway. They'll lose five or six games every year as sure as I'm sitting here. Basketball, they'll lose 15 games as sure as I'm sitting here. So why would you lie about kids having symptoms? I don't see what it benefits in any capacity. The program's never mattered in athletics at that school ever. Jesus lives there. They all walk around hippies smoking dope all day and eating mushrooms. Who are you kidding? It's the bottom line.
Yeah,
it's true.
If this was a line that showed up on FanDuel, I would actually bet that it was inaccurate or overhyped. Now, Steve Adazio, from his days at BC, got a chance to know a lot of BC players, talked to a lot of BC parents. Not the most likable guy. Doesn't have a great bedside manner. Can be a bit of a jerk at times. But to go to those lengths as a first-year coach, where he's trying to make his mark, you know how it is when you start someplace, new job, new gig, first year, you know, everything is yes sir, no sir, you know, buttoned up, taking care of business. This would not only be a immediately fireable offense, he'll never have a job. Anyone on that staff will never have a job in amateur athletics again. So I get it. The writer who put that together, it was well-sourced, but then it was questioned by some of the Ram players. I don't know the answer, Scott, but my hunch is I can't imagine that a seasoned coach like Steve Adazio would ever go in this culture, in this environment, they would boot him out on his can in about 5 minutes.
Did they not learn their lesson with Bobo? Did they not learn their lesson? That they already had a maniac there to begin with?
Yeah. It was a horrible hire. I know this is not the segment of the show where we're going to talk about Mountain West football. Horrible hire. I mean, the guy was abysmal at Boston College. He couldn't get an offense cranking. He inherits a very good offense. They are loaded with talented playmakers, Warren Jackson on the outside is a next-level wide receiver. To bring in Steve Adazio, 4 yards in a cloud of dust, that was a shocking hire, but obviously not off to a great start either.
What did you think of the Colorado or the Washington State coach threatening players allegedly about their health and yeah. Any kind of protest or any kind of marching to a Pac-12 union that they were trying to come up with out in the West Coast? All the kids in the Pac-12 were saying, we're going to start a union. We want all this and all that. And the coach, there was a player tape recorded the guy threatening him. Like, the guy's been on the job 6 months. He replaced Leach, and he's threatening players. Did you see this guy? He already threw a bunch of players off the team. What is this asshat doing?
Yeah, you know what? It's another curious one. Nick Rolovich, former quarterback, former head coach at Hawaii, relatively young. You would think he would be sort of aware. Again, you have to be aware of the climate that we're in right now. Right? This isn't Bear Bryant in Tuscaloosa in 1969. I mean, there were things you could get away a generation ago. You absolutely can't get away with now. And we also have the devices, to your point, to record that kind of behavior. So it's shocking, but it's also not that shocking. I mean, like you, I am also north of 50, so I've been doing this for a very long time.
Right.
Coaches, by and large, particularly at the college level, really people I can't trust. I mean, they do such unscrupulous things. There are exceptions. But by and large, they are cutthroat, win at all costs, and they will stampede young men. So the fact that some of these kids are getting a little bit of leverage at this point is not so bad.
Do you think that the Pac-12 is crazy to cancel basketball already?
That is, you're referring to not starting or canceling this calendar year, I guess, until January.
Right. Yeah, I mean, what are they doing?
To me, it feels a little bit early. The one thing I'll say about the ACC and the SEC, even though it's, August 10th, 11th at this point, I still think there's a little bit of time to sort of survey the field. Let's see what the NFL does. Let's see what happens when there's a mass of kids on campus. I think it's going to be, ridiculous. I mean, I think it's going to shut down shortly after it starts. But in terms of basketball, you still have time. And with the smaller rosters, you also have a better chance of creating somewhat of a bubble scenario, even though it is college and difficult. The difficulty with college football, you got 85 scholarship players. You have walk-ons, non-scholarship players. That's over 100 kids plus staff. It'd be super difficult to keep COVID in place at this point. But COVID's loving it, though. COVID at this point is COVID is laughing and saying, SEC, let's go. I'm ready for you.
Yeah. COVID's undefeated, Father Time. They're playing each other in early November. Father Time, the home team, favored by 6. What do you think of the NCAA basically said no keg parties. Yeah, good luck with that. No keg parties in college. They'll have a keg party tomorrow.
Do you remember that? That viral Ozarks video, which I guess was maybe late May, where there was a huge party that broke out in the Ozarks.
Yes, yes.
Kids in pools, stuff like that. That would be about every college campus about 15 minutes after kids descend upon any particular campus across the country. You're never going to legislate against that. Never.
It's unbelievable. So do you think that the ACC, I'm a Miami fan. I've been a Cane fan my whole life. And
a lot of talent this year. It was a tough year oh my God.
Right. But I mean, the thing is, I'm just happy because I don't have to play Louisiana Tech and get beat 29-0 in a bowl game, because I don't think any of those conferences are going to be playing. At least Miami will lose to good teams now and not any teams I've never heard of. I don't care what anybody says. I can't believe how bad they were, Manny Diaz. Do you think the ACC is going to actually pull this off and play football? And Notre Dame, how about them? Everybody else goes to hell, but Notre Dame gets a free ride into the ACC, a more cushy treatment for the Irish.
Yeah, ND entitlement still exists in 2020. My thoughts, Scott, all along, I'm not going to change it, not out of rigidity, just because I think it still applies. I actually think we're going to see, football, ACC, SEC, perhaps Big 12 in September. I think it's going to be a false start. I think we're going to see it for a couple of weeks. I would be absolutely shocked if we get to a finish line. If we're talking about college football, dare I say even the college football playoff, once we get to December or January, that would be a massive upset. So I'm going to say a week or two, and then we shut it down.
You're the man, brother. Great stuff tonight. Fantastic role with Rich Carminello. We'll see him on Football Full Circle. All right, Rich Carminello, great job from Football Full Circle. And we were under the pressure there. Mafia was counting me down, and I was like, oh, my God, I ran out of time, and I think I called him Carminello. It's funny because I know a guy. You know the guy from Channel 2 in New York, Carmiello? Do you know who that is? He goes by Tony Aiello. He's like a great reporter for CBS and TV. He was a fraternity brother. So Carmiello is when I thought of Rich Carminello. I thought of Carmiello, and that's why I said it. So hopefully he wasn't offended, because that's the first time I've ever talked to Rich, I think. On either show. So it's good to get him on the show. I'm glad he did a great job and everybody's happy. And I butchered his name at the end because I was thinking of my friend on CBS TV, frat brother of mine. I don't know if I knew him as Carmiello in college at Indiana, and he was in my fraternity, and I was Satan in the fraternity. I did everything bad that could happen, including hazing, drinking, drugs, women, and plagiarism. All I know is I perfected the wedge, which is the ultimate cheating pyramid scheme, where you get the whole fraternity wedging down into the psych 101 test, and the guy at the top is barreling down the answers to the guy at the bottom, or vice versa. Anyway, I'm just kidding, but I'm not kidding about anything else. All I know is, it's funny. I worked with his wife as well at Sirius for a while. I think she like ran the news department or something at Howard Stern or something. Do you remember that lady, Mafia? Liz Aiello. Do you remember her?
Yeah, actually, now you brought up her name, I do remember who you're talking about. I wasn't sure at first, but now that I heard her name, I do.
That's Tony's wife, so there you go. Anyway, very exciting. We got another hour to go on a bench.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.